Welcome to the Walking Through Time podcasts. There are plenty more to make your visit to New Norfolk more enjoyable.
We came to New Norfolk. My family, we had a general store. My father just discharged from the First World War and he was very badly wounded there. And he and my mother had worked in Parramatta. He met her in New South Wales. And she'd worked in a department store in Parramatta in New South Wales, and they had this general store at Oatlands. Well, the opportunity came for a better one at New Norfolk, so we moved down here when I was 3 months old, and the one at Oatlands was just one store. Well, the one at New Norfolk, there were two shops, and there was the grocery business and the drapery business there. So my...
Is that the original shop where I worked
here? Yeah. No. That's where...
when you first came here?
When we first came, it was where Wigston's are. You see?
Right. Yep. Yes, I thought of you.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Later on, we built on the opposite side where we are now. We had 14 on the staff, you know what I mean, which were pretty big for a country store kind of thing. And why we moved over to the other side of the road was because we were selling a lot of bread we had to get from the baker. So when we moved over there... my dad built his own bakery there, and so we had like a bakehouse, and we had grocery and drapery and hardware and everything, you know, whatever you want in a country store. We had it kind of thing, you know. And then in those days, my dad of course was the boss. My mother ran the drapery business, and my two elder sisters worked in the business as well, you know. I went to high school, and then from high school I more or less went into the army. But anyway, that was okay. And then when I came out of the army, and my dad and my mother retired, and I took over the running of the business. I bought it from them later on, but then my sister, my mother was no longer in the business, and then my sister wasn't in the business. So then for the first time in our lives, we had to employ a lady to run the drapery business, you see. So then that was okay. And then of course, self-service came on the thing. And I could see the writing on the wall, you know what I mean, that the sort of business we had wasn't going to compete with self-service. So I bought the block of land next door, and I built a new shop on there. And I moved the drapery business over to the new shop, and then converted the old shop to self-service, you see. Well, when we moved into the new shop next door, I just thought everything would be the same, but because there was more space and everything, business doubled, you see. So then, because I didn't have my wife wasn't, she was a country girl, she wasn't interested in business kind of thing, and my mother and sisters were nowhere there, so I advertised for a manager, you know, like that. Mm. And I got Dorothy Cawthorn, you see.
The Peg Factory was in full swing then.
They employed about 35 girls.
And they were mostly girls from around the bank homes and places like that. I would have all those girls in Friday afternoon because it was in the miniskirt days, when the miniskirts came in. And I had all these mini skirts, this big, you know, navy, red, green, all the colours. And because it was a craze, and all the girls wanted a mini skirt. And I can remember they were $6.50. You know, can you imagine getting anything for $6.50 now? And so.
What year was that?
66, the year of decimal currency. That's how I always know what year I say. I only had about a fortnight with the old currency when I opened the shop, and then decimal currency came in. But, you know, those girls, they were all good, honest kids, and they would come in. I'd have them all come in after lunch. They knocked off at lunchtime, I think, Friday afternoon. And they'd all come in, and they'd probably pay 10 shillings off their skirt. You know, and it'd take them, you know, a few weeks before they collected it. It was a lay-by. when you think, they were good years. I mean,
we worked
Friday night.
Yeah.
And then Saturday morning came in. I wasn't very happy about that.
That was, we used to close all the weekend.
Yes.
And, you know, those of us who worked a long time, that was a great thing because you couldn't work, you know, all the time without a break. And that gave you, you know, 2 days off kind of thing.
And we were building the shack at Orford and we used to go Friday night.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd have 2 days down there.
And then a new broom came to the town. Remember Jim Anderson came to the town with the dry cleaning business? He thought it was a good thing to open on Saturday morning.
But I don't think it was.
No.
I mean, those days, Friday night was a terrific time for business because, you know, we used to get everybody from Maydena.
Yeah.
And all those, you know, all the hydro schemes were going on.
Yeah.
And look, you'd probably take more money Friday night than what you would all day.
Oh, yeah. Well,
These people would...
Well, we used to say you took more money on Friday night than you did on Monday and Tuesday.
Yes.
You know, because
they
were cashed up, you see, building the dams at up at Meadowbank and so forth, the Meadowbank Repulse Dams, and they were all... And they'd get paid... You say, you know, 4 o'clock or something, and then they'd hit me in Norfolk at 6 o'clock, and then it was all hell let loose, wasn't it?
It'd be flat out.
Yeah. The men usually would adjourn to the pub.
Yes.
And the
ladies. And I always had one lady, and she'd come into the shop at 9:15 when I wanted to knock off right on 9 because we were going to Orford or going somewhere.
Yeah.
And she'd never ever bought anything, but I reckon she was filling in time while her husband was at the pub.
Yeah.
You know, because she didn't really come to buy anything, but she just wanted to have a look around.
Yeah. There wasn't Northgate or any of those places then, you know. A family business in New Norfolk was just the same as a family business at Glenorchy, you know what I mean? So there wasn't any advantage in going down there kind of thing. There weren't any supermarkets or anything like that or not.
No, it wasn't. It was you had the grocery business.
Yeah.
And
you could get everything in New Norfolk in those days. Oh, you know, I mean, not the... quantity and the variety you get in Hobart, but people didn't go to Hobart in those days, you know, kind of thing.
No, you could buy everything, and
you
know,
it was booming.
You think about it, Ken, there was my business, there was Mrs. Clark, there was Colleen Brooks.
Yeah.
Look, there was about there was about five or six shops that sold ladies' wear, and we all got a living out of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why. When I read in the paper about somebody saying if they got this supermarket down here, there wouldn't be any business in High Street. But I really think it'd keep people in the town.
Yeah, yeah. Like the seven antique shops, you see, and they say you don't want any more. I said we want as many as we can get because people will come here if they've got a good variety, you know what I mean?
They used to have all the big balls up in the Memorial Hall, like the Apex Ball. Remember all the balls?
Yeah.
And we'd all get dressed up.
The hospital ball, the Masonic ball. There was the...
And we all looked forward to that. And we'd get a new long dress and get all diddled up for the big ball and we'd have a great time.
And in those days, it was so popular, they used to have, in the Fiddish, it was so popular, had two orchestras. And you had non-stop, you know, like where normally one... orchestra would play and then they'd rest for a while.
Yes.
Used to have non-stop, you know what I mean? And one would play old time and then as soon as they'd finished, someone would start on new time and all that sort of thing. A lot of them were on Friday night. Of course, Saturday night, you had to finish at midnight, you see, whereas on Friday night, you could go on till 2 o'clock or something like that, you see.
Yes, see, that was the law in those days. They didn't have alcohol or anything, did they?
No. But you, otherwise you're on the Sabbath, you see.
Yes.
Once you got to midnight, no beer. You weren't allowed to have any joviality on Sunday kind of thing. Well, it was the same at Rest Point.
Yes.
You couldn't get a drink after midnight. You know, do you realise that? We used to go down there and you had to have all your drinks ordered by 11:45. They used to have debutantes balls and all here, you know. And,
well, I remember helping. I worked with Mrs. Clive on a debutant ball.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know. I probably played for rehearsal. They had a big orchestra on the big night, but I played the piano and she'd say, will you come and help me, you know, with all these girls?
Yeah. Well, it was so popular at the Oddfellows Hall. We're talking about the Oddfellows Hall.
Yeah.
There was upstairs, see. And people would go along just to watch.
Yes.
You know, like you could pay. You could pay to go into the dance, and you could also pay. Not the same amount, but pay up there. And people used to go just to watch, and they always used to say that the money they collected from people watching was enough to pay the orchestra.
Everybody met their boyfriend at the dance.
The dance. Oh, yeah, that was.
I often think, where do they meet them now?
The pub. Yeah. Talking about the balls, there were also a lot of country dancers in those days, you know. And, of course, the country dances were held on a Saturday night, you see, which meant they started earlier than the balls did, you see. And I can remember as a young man, you know, before I went in the army, and you'd go out there, and, of course, the big thing then was you weren't allowed to have liquor near a dance hall,
you know.
No. So the rule was 200 yards. You had to be. So, like I say, we'd arrive at the dance hall and the boys would be out next, but, you know, one, two, they'd step out the 200 yards and then hide the bottles in the briar bush or something other like that. And the trooper was always there, you know, there's a police trooper, and he was there supervising the dancers. And and we used to have all, you know, great, wonderful old-time dances and everything like that. And they were so friendly, you know. You always had the progressive barn dance. Everybody got up and danced, you know. There was none of this.
Oh, that was a great dance, wasn't it? Yeah, progressive barn dance.
And there, of course, they had supper too there. So my wife and I, later on, that we're talking about before the war, then after the war, we used to go to the country dances. And in the orchestra went to supper. And that's when Nora used to go and play for the music for them.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
She used to play for the while the orchestra were having supper, one thing or another. But talking about the you wanted to know about the theatre in your Norfolk, you see?
Can you know more about that?
Originally, it was in the Oddfellows Hall where we had all these balls, one thing or another. You know, and then I've just forgotten what happened, but Rose Hall, who ran the picture show, and her son was the projectionist, and they built the Plaza Theatre in Norfolk. At that time, it was one of the most modern theatres that there were, you know. And there was a dress circle, and of course the stalls down below, one thing another. And this lady who worked for me, Thelma Gossage, you know what I mean?
Oh yes, I remember.
And she worked for me. And people, I was amazed because people would come in the shop and they'd say to Thelma, four tickets for Saturday night. And Thelma would say, right. And and she'd remember all that, you know.
Yes.
And she'd reserve all these seats, one thing or another, for these people. And everybody in the town went, you know.
Yes.
We lived behind the shop. And so we didn't need to go over. And, of course, we were always the last people to arrive, kind of thing, because all we had to do was walk across the road, you know. But the Hall family ran that, and they ran it absolutely like, you know, in a dictatorial way, if you know what I mean. It was if you didn't behave yourself, you were out, what I mean.
I can remember. And
they used to have matinee Saturday afternoon, and, of course, it was sixpence to go in, and the kids used to go around, the poor kids used to go around up on Peppermint Hill and pick up all the twigs and bark and things and make a bundle of it, you know what I mean, and take it round the town and sell it to somebody, see, for kindling wood, and they might get threepence here and they might get stuff like that. And that would pay for their admission into the... Well, sometimes, of course, old Rosie, she was very stern, you know what I mean, but she had a heart of gold underneath it all. And Bobby Hill used to tell me how sometimes they didn't get up or they had to do jobs and they didn't have the sixpence to go to the theatre.
Oh,
so they'd go there and they'd stand outside, you know what I mean. And Rosie would come out and look round and one thing and another, and the theatre would start, you see, and then she'd walk out a bit later and the kids would still be going there. And she'd say, after a while, Bobby would say, she used to come out and say, come on, get inside, you know. And the kids got in for nothing, you see.
Because, yes, but that was good. I mean, she probably had room in the theatre.
Well, that's right, yes. You know what I mean. But, Madge used to go along with the torture, one thing or another, and there was none of this cuddling or putting your hand out in the wrong direction or anything like that.
You were soon snapping.
Yeah. And, you know, and I can see now where I built the shop later. There was a vacant block of land there, and they had this big poster room there. And Dummy, who was the projectionist, he was the son, and he'd come along every Monday morning and get the old paste out, and he'd paste it up and down. That would be next week's attraction, you know what I mean?
Everybody would be looking to see what
movie. And everybody was looking to see what was on next week. And it was right in the middle of the main street, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so New Norfolk really had everything in those days, didn't they? They had the pubs, and if anybody wanted to go to the pub, and they've always had a football team. And
Well, see, our general store, we ran, we had vans, and we used to go to all the country areas within, what, 10 kilometres, a bit more than that, around New Norfolk. And because we had the bakehouse too, we used to go, and the vans were loaded up with groceries and one thing or another. And people got one, like say Molesworth or Lachlan or Plenty or Back River, that we had two vans, they used to, and they'd either go Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you see. And people got fresh bread and everything like that delivered to their door, you know.
No charge.
No charge, yeah, that's right, yeah. And but areas like they are talking about, Molesworth, Plenty, Gordon Bradshaw, who was lived out in Molesworth, for instance, and we got, I said to him one day, look, Gordon, I'm writing up my memoirs. I don't want to exaggerate, but I think there would be have been at least 70 families getting a living in the Molesworth Valley, you know what I mean? Now there's none, you know what I mean?
Yes, it's amazing, isn't it?
And you can imagine those people there, they all had four or five kids, you know what I mean? So there'd be 500 people living in this little valley, you know what I mean? And people said to me later on in life, they say, oh, everybody in New Norfolk is related, you know what I mean? And I said, well, what you can expect, you know? You lived out there, you didn't have any transport, your only world was 5 miles up the road or 5 miles down the road.
You didn't have cars like that.
Didn't have cars or anything like that. The only people you met, you know? And I like Ab Green. I was talking to him recently. I'm always getting some information. And I said to Ab one day about living out at Glen Dew. There's a little Glen Dew school there. There was a Molesworth school and there's the Glen Dew school. And I said to Ab one day about, he said, yeah, he said, that's right, Ken. He said, you know, we had the little school at Glen Dew, he said, and there were 50 kids out there. He said, and I counted up one day, he said, I was related to 49 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's the way, that's the way it was.
Well, when you think, Ken, like with the family history, I've got John Henry Cawthorne had three daughters, and the Barkers that lived down the road built that stone house, you know, down from the Gritton and Green Hotel. Part of that was up when we first came here, but it's all locked down now. And they were related. They were first cousins. And three sons married three daughters. Three Barkers married three Cawthorne girls.
See, when I was growing up, it was no good having a girlfriend in Hobart. You'd never see her. You know what I mean?
Now, you can have one in
Well, you wouldn't have the money to go on the bus, you know what I mean, and come back or, you know, and all this sort of thing.
Well, you see, they only lived down the road, so I guess that's how they ended up getting married, because they'd have no way of getting anywhere to meet anybody.
No. Well, I mean, you might occasionally go to Hobart, but if you met a girl down there, it was no good carrying on. It was just just an equate. So all your whole world was in
In the Derwent Valley.
In the Derwent Valley, you know what I mean? If you're very well off, you might have a push bike. But
yes.
You know, and then I can remember now, like every Sunday afternoon, the people used to go more or less in droves over to the cemetery, you know what I mean, to put flowers on the graves over there. There was nothing else to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was just that was their recreation on Sunday. You'd go to church and you'd go for a walk and over to the usual thing was to go over to the cemetery, put flowers on the grave, you know, and all this sort of thing. But and you can imagine that's why the Bushy Park show on New Year's Day and the regatta, you know, it was such wonderful events because that was, you know, something that you really looked forward to. You didn't have many many things like that kind of thing. So, yeah.
The Walking Through Time project has been made possible through the assistance of the Australian Government's Your Community Heritage Program and funding from the Derwent Valley Council. We would like to thank the many members of the public who have given freely of their thoughts and memories to make this project a success.